During cold spells, an elderly person may be too frail to light a fire, make a hot meal, or even move. They can then suffer from hypothermia. Even in mild weather, their body gets colder and colder. Left unattended, they can collapse and die. You may know an elderly person in your street who needs help. Why not drop in on your way to the shops tomorrow and simply ask if everything's all right? That's how easy it is to save a life.
Due to the extreme nature of this program, listener discretion is advised. The subject matters may include topics of substance usage, sex, historical events that may be sensitive to some listeners, and foul language. Things discussed may not be considered politically correct in this overly sensitive environment. They may not be appropriate for listeners under the age of 13. As well as some listeners may find things offensive no matter the age, again, listener discretion is advised.
Greetings and salutations, and welcome to the next episode of GXO, Generation Extraordinary, the podcast nobody asked for, focusing on everything that's relevant to the greatest generation alive today, Generation X. So if it involves movies, music, TV, and a bit of history from 1960 through 1999, we're going to talk about it. Who knows? You might just learn something before it's all said and done. And if you're lucky, this grouchy old fart might just regale you with a story or two. I'm Robert Pop, coming to you from beautiful Podunk, Nebraska.
Welcome to Boris's Weird, Strange, and Unusual Finds, located in the S&M Family Fun Center on Highway 4. If you're looking for a gift for a friend, or even yourself, that's just fucking odd, come on in. We have weird taxidermy, like turkey heads, stuffed gophers, and even two-headed creatures. Maybe you're more into shrunken heads or magic ritual voodoo dolls. And think of the fun you can have by gifting any number of the cursed items we have in stock, like the standard monkey paw, the cursed amulet, or the China doll, even a dagger. Come see me, Boris, at Boris's Weird, Strange, and Unusual Finds, located in the S&M Family Fun Center on Highway 4, open from sundown to sunrise, 6 days a week.
Hey guys, it's Rob. You may not know this about me, but I suffer from both severe depression and high anxiety. I've tried several different ways to treat these things that sometimes just run my life. I've isolated, medicated, therapied, and they all help to a degree. But I found a treatment that, if used responsibly, can be effective in my day-to-day life. Some days require only one dose, and then there are days that I have to self-care several times a day. Fuck it all. The newest emotional stabilizer that's not a pill or even a suppository, but it is orally consumed. Boss piss you off? Fuck it all. Spouse being a dumbass? Fuck it all. Unexpected bill hits your checking account? Fuck it all. Life has been getting consistently harder and harder for everyone over the last several years, with inflated gas and grocery prices, housing shortages, so on and so on. And if you're like most Americans, myself included, you've tried self-medicate either with alcohol and or drugs just to help change your frame of mind. But I have the answer. Right here, right now. Just fuck it all. Dr. Dean Gulberry, doctor and research scientist into human emotion behavior and the inventor of the newest and greatest mood-enhancing treatments around. Fuck it all. Trust me, fuck it all has started to really change my life, and it may do the same for you. Fuck it all. This product is not yet been approved by the FDA.
The views and opinions expressed are just that, Rob's views and opinions. He is not always politically correct, and they may not match up with your own opinions. It is not his intentions to offend anyone. Hopefully you find the shows entertaining and informative as well. Please note, Rob is not a professional historian, but he has done a lot of research for this show. With that being said, mistakes happen, but he will do his best to minimize those. Keep in mind, Rob is just some nut with a microphone.
Welcome to this week's episode of GXO, Generation Extraordinary, the podcast nobody asked for this week, actually this month. We're going to be talking about some pretty far out there stuff, okay? I'm going to start with aliens and why that has drawn me in. And then I've also got some, cryptoids and demons and haunted areas here in Nebraska that I'm going to be talking about. So this month is going to be completely a scare fest, or potential scare fest, let's put it that way. I'm also working on a production for Christmas. It is a GXO original. It is a story that I wrote about 2 years ago. And I am attempting to put that into a format which would work on the podcast. So even if you hate it, lie to me and tell me that you loved it, so my ego isn't shattered. Today, we're going to be talking about aliens. And the guy that brought this really to the forefront in the mid to late 80s, his name was Art Bell. And I used to listen to Art all the freaking time, a lot of times because I was driving from some location, some undisclosed location, to another location, whether it be from a girlfriend's house to home or something that had to do with a job, something. AM Coast to Coast was a late night radio talk show, and AM meaning that it was on AM radio, that dealt with a variety of topics. Most frequently, the topics related to either the paranormal or conspiracy theories. It was originally hosted by Art Bell from its inception in 1988 until 2003, and now it's currently being hosted by a man by the name of George Norrie. The program is distributed by Premier Networks. They're a subsidiary of iHeartMedia, both as a part of its talk network and separately as a syndicated program. The program now airs 7 nights a week from 1 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, which would be Central, would be midnight, Mountain would be 11, and Pacific would be 10. And I'm sorry to my international listeners. Thank you, by the way, for listening and putting up with this old fart. I don't know where you're actually at, so I can't give you your time zones. But nonetheless, 1 to 5 a.m. Eastern Time. It appears on over 600 affiliates and has repeatedly been called the, quote, most popular overnight show in the country. In 1978, Art Bell created and hosted West Coast AM, a late-night political talk call-in show on Las Vegas station KDWN. In 1988, Art Bell and Alan Corbeth renamed the show Coast to Coast AM and moved its studios from the Plaza Hotel in Los Angeles to Art Bell's home in Pahrump. That's what it's called, people. It's Pahrump. P-A-H-R-U-M-P. Pahrump, Nevada. After Bell's retirement, the show was hosted by a variety of different personalities, including Mike Siegel. Wasn't a big fan of Mike Siegel, but George Norrie and others. George Norrie does a good job. Problem is that him and Art Bell did not see eye to eye on a lot of stuff. At its peak, Coast to Coast AM, under Art Bell, was syndicated by Premier Radio Network and aired on more than 500 radio stations and boasted a weekly listening audience in excess of 10 million listeners. And I will tell you, KFAB out of Omaha is where I picked up on this and started listening to Art Bell. Since 2013, the weekly listeners have declined to 2.5 million. Well, yeah, because 2013, you could find it on the internet and you could just download it. You could become a subscriber, so on and so forth. Plus the fact that it's novelty of being one-of-a-kind program was really kind of shot in the ass because people saw that it was popular. So they recreated. They basically tried to just not reinvent the wheel, but they wanted to copy the wheel. Scholars have criticized Coast to Coast AM for promoting pseudo-historic and pseudo-scientific ideas. Let that sink in. One of those scholars by the name of Professor Michael C. Keith from Boston College noted a, quote, characteristic of distrust and fear that is part of the text of Coast to Coast. Fear of the unknown, fear of invasion, fear of being taken over by some evil force, end quote. Well, yeah, I mean, okay, so I'm sure Professor Keith is fucking brilliant in his field. But from the average Joe Schmo, you know what? Those of us that believe, we don't want to be fucking sheeple. We want to be informed. You know what? If there's fucking aliens, which I believe that there are, and there has been repeated sightings, as well as cryptids like Bigfoot, Loch Ness Monster, Chupacabra. You should not be afraid to say, hey, I've seen this. Without some yutz going, oh, well, you're fucking crazy. CSI fellow Joe Nickel has appeared on the show occasionally as the, quote, voice of skepticism, end quote, saying his goal was to explain the domesticity of bizarre topics Coast to Coast deals with, such as Bigfoot and ghosts. Art Bell was the original host. Starting in 1988, he announced his retirement in 2000, but would return as show host, retire again, return again, a number of times. Mr. Art Bell died in April 2018. Mike Siegel, he hosted the show from April 2000 to February 2001. He became a frequent substitute for Bell in late 1999 when Bell announced his retirement in early 2000. He recommended Siegel to succeed him. Siegel maintained that the format that Bell had created would not change, but his personal style was different, and the show became less and less popular. Siegel hosted the show from Seattle, Washington, where he lived, and then in 2001, Art Bell decided to return, mainly because Mike Siegel fucked it up, and Siegel left the show. George Norrie took over hosting duties in 2003 as a replacement for Bell, but was temporarily discontinued after Bell returned citing disagreements with Norrie. After Bell's death in 2018, Norrie says that the two were, quote, not that close personally, and that there were major differences in their approaches, end quote. Despite this, Norrie said that, quote, Bell was an instrument in me being where I am right now, end quote. The show featured a number of guests, some reoccurring and way, way too many to mention over that period of time. However, over this next month, I'm going to be talking about a lot of things Art Bell would have discussed on AM Coast to Coast. When we come back from this short break from my fake sponsors, we're going to be talking about aliens. And I'm going to give you my own perspective on that. So stick around.
Welcome to Boris's Weird, Strange, and Unusual Finds. Located in the S&M Family Fun Center on Highway 4. If you're looking for a gift for a friend, or even yourself that's just fucking odd. Come on in. We have a wide range of silver items for dispensing with that pesky werewolf. Bullets, knives, and arrows, not to mention a fresh supply of wolfsbane. Baby, you're looking to do away with a vampire. We have the vampire defense kit, complete with holy water, crucifix, and wooden stakes. Right now, until the winter solstice, we are having a huge sale on all our possessed dolls. Chucky, Annabelle, and Robert seem to be our biggest sellers. Come and see me, Boris, at Boris's Weird, Strange, and Unusual Finds, located in the S&M Family Fun Center on Highway 4. Open from sundown to sunrise, 6 days a week.
When it comes to St. Louis, baseball, beer, the archway, the blues, and good food all come to mind. But there's a lot more. In this city, there's a feeling in the air of watching out for your fellow human. A feeling of someone always watching your back. It's hard to describe. It's a bond, if you will, a special bond that comes from being mugged over and over that really connects us all. If you're not from here, that's okay. All are welcome. But here's one more tip. Be sure to download the Crime Map app so you don't accidentally wander into a bad part of town. St. Louis, Missouri, where the overall crime rates are lower than 2020, except for vehicle theft, so lock your car, because that's higher. To book your trip to St. Louis, contact Stacy Recht or Jenny Talia, part of our expert team at GXO Tour and Travel.
Any claims of time travel are purely fictitious and are only meant for entertainment purposes. And honestly, if you believe Rob can travel through time, I only have one question for you. What the hell is wrong with you?
All right, welcome back from that break. And we are going to continue our discussion about supernatural and paranormal activity, as well as some of the things that may just be out of the normal, such as aliens, like I mentioned about Art Bell. So this section is going to deal with that list of extraterrestrial beings, quote, aliens, that I'll be using. No, I don't mean that they're here in the United States without the proper documentation. I mean that they're here on Earth as foreign creatures. So that's what alien means to me, okay? So the following list has been reported in close encounters, claimed or speculated to be associated with UFOs. Grays. Now, grays are going to be what you typically would think of when you hear the word alien. They've got their gray skin, sometimes green, they're humanoids, usually about 3.5 foot tall. They're hairless, they got that great big monster football head, and they got them big black almond-shaped eyes, nostrils without a nose, slits for mouth, and no ears, and usually between 3 and 4 fingers, including a thumb. Grays have been the predominant extraterrestrial being when you allege that alien contact has taken place since about the 1960s. Then you have little green men, diminutive green humanoids, even though a few abductions have referred to green skin. No report has ever involved anything that would fit the classic culture stereotype of, quote, little green men. So if you imagine the dudes from Mars Attacks, that's what comes to mind when you talk, quote, little green men. Then you have the Nordic aliens called Space Brothers, Venusians, Tall Whites. Humanoid with the stereotypical Nordic features. They're tall, blonde hair, blue eye, and which have featured in several cases of contact. a lot like, they look a lot like us, to be honest with you. They just look like a very tall human with those Nordic features. Rod skyfish. Now, this is an elongated visual artifact that appears in photos and video recording, sometimes claimed to be extraterrestrial beings. To be honest with you, everything I saw, these things look a bit like a big space octopus. I know there was a kite. I know that there was drones that were out there mimicking this. But that would be a skyfish, an energy being. And they're just that. They are an energy being, is an alleged life form that has composed of energy rather than matter. They appear in the paranormal / UFO accounts in various works of speculative fiction, including my favorite, Star Trek and Doctor Who. However, it is supposedly a transcendental transformation that you leave your corporeal body behind to become nothing but pure energy. The energy beings are typically rendered as being translucent, glowing fluid, or a collection of flames or electric sparks or bolts, somewhat in common with the representation of ghosts, reptilians. Reptilians or reptiloids, the Draconians, the Orions. These fuckers, they actually kind of scare me a little bit. They are usually tall, scaly humanoids. Reptilian humanoids beings date back as far as ancient Egypt, with the crocodile-headed river god Sobek, with no less than 35 references in worldwide mythology. And then if you add in film, TV, books, games, comics, there's another 100 references at minimum. I'd let that sink in. You know, because here's the thing, is there's a lot of times things that are written in fiction have a basis in truth. I'm just saying. Reptilian humanoids play a prominent role in fantasy, science fiction, ufology, and conspiracy theories. The idea of reptilians was popularized by David Icke, and I know I'm mispronouncing it, it's I-C-K-E, so I'm going to go with Icke, an anti-Semitic conspiracy theorist who claims, now here's where it comes in, shape-shifting reptilian aliens control Earth by taking on human form and gaining political power to manipulate human societies. Now, y'all know that I've got more than one screw loose, but I gotta tell you, I have seen a lot of things on this particular subject that people in positions of power right now in the United States have been replaced by reptilians. What do I think? I don't know. I'm just throwing the information out there into the universe. You guys can decide. Icke also stated that on multiple occasions, many world leaders are or are possessed by so-called reptilians. Some conspiracy theorists exposing the extraterrestrial hypothesis claim they either come from the Draco constellation or the Orion constellation, or are allies with nefarious extraterrestrials from the Orion constellation. Now, just so you guys know, in the Star Trek universe, the Orions, they're douchebags, and they are very nefarious, and they are reptilian. So, you know, did Gene Roddenberry already know this? I don't know. Others claim that they are interdimensional, coming from another universe or dimension. Alien abduction narratives sometimes allege contact with reptilian creatures. One of the earliest reports was that of, right here in Podunk, Nebraska, Ashland, Nebraska. Police Officer Herbert Schirmer, who under hypnosis recalled being taken aboard a UFO in 1967 by humanoid beings with a slightly reptilian appearance, who wore a winged serpent emblem on the left side of their chest. All right, kids, now think back. What about Cobra from G.I. Joe? What side was that Cobra head? Just saying. Alien abduction entities are the beings alleged to secretly abduct and subject experiencers to forced medical examination, which often emphasizes on their reproductive system. The first alien abduction claim to be widely publicized was that of Betty and Barney Rubble. No, I'm sorry, I'm kidding about that. Betty and Barney Hill abduction in 1961. Maybe that's where they got the name for the Rubbles. I don't know. Could be. In 1961, which featured diminutive, large-eyed beings who wore military-style uniforms. Typical claims involve forced medical examinations that emphasize the subject's reproductive systems. Abductees sometimes claim to have been warned against environmental abuses and the dangers of nuclear weapons, or to have engaged in interspecies breeding. You know, I mean, I believe in all this stuff that I, you know, but that's a hell of a stretch. Yeah. You know, you come home, you start smelling of perfume or something that the old lady doesn't freaking understand. She's like, "Why do I smell another woman on you?" Well, maybe I was abducted by aliens and they had their way with me. I don't think that would fucking fly. I just don't. Dr. John Miller says that the cases he studied, abductees report that when they ask their captors why the invasive and humiliating medical procedures are being done, the entity will often express sentiments like, "We have the right to do this." Basically looking at us like cattle. So, you know, we're not top of the food chain. I mean, maybe this whole thing is just, maybe this whole planet is just one big experiment. You know, to find out how many of the rats are going to go after the cheese in the rat race. Don't know. The contents of the abduction narrative often seem to vary for the home culture of the alleged abductee. UFO alien abductions and mind control plots can also be a part of the radical political apocalyptic and millenarian. Wow, I did not know that I could even say that word, millenarian narrative. Reports of the abduction phenomenon have been made all around the world, but are most common in English-speaking countries, especially the United States. UFO abduction claims have declined since their initial surge in the mid-1970s, and alien abduction narratives have found less popularity in mainstream media. Skeptic Michael Schirmer proposed that the ubiquity of camera phones increases the burden of evidence for such claims and may be the cause for their decline. Oh, yeah. Because, you know, everybody's got their fucking phone on them. They're going to be like, you know, the Cardassians are Cardassian, not Kardashian. There's a difference. Look them up. The Cardassians are sitting there, they're on Earth, they're like, you know what, there's Joe Blow. Oh, fuck, he's got his camera. Oh, shit, don't take him. Yeah, or in the middle of a fucking anal probe, all of a sudden the guy's going, "Oh, hang on a second, I need to take a fucking selfie because you've got this 16-inch fucking metal probe up my ass. I want to be able to share that on Instagram." Give me a fucking break. Author and ufologist Jenny Randles stated that the different types of reported entities are said to have differing motives, with the Nordic type being more benevolent than the Greys. But in all my research, it seems pretty clear that the reptilians are all about domination through governmental pathways. So, what do you think? Despite some of the very extensive and incredible expensive efforts, we have found no hard evidence of extraterrestrial life, at least not public evidence. But we do have a quote-unquote wow signal. It was August 15th, 1977, and a telescope at Ohio State University picked up a very bizarre radio wave. The telescope recorded the signal for a solid 72 seconds. And a few days later, astronomer Jerry Ehman, that's what we're going to go with, E-H-M-A-N, was studying the data when he stumbled across the signal. He circled the series of letters with and numbers with red ink and enthusiastically wrote "Wow" beside it. Wow is right. To this day, no one knows what caused the signal, and despite significant effort, it has never been found again. Now, I am a believer. There's several reasons why I'm a believer. I mean, y'all know that I got more fucking issues than the Wall Street Journal. So I don't know why I'm embarrassed or I'm hesitant to tell you this story. So I was dating this chick in Hordeville, Nebraska. Hordeville, Nebraska. It was about, 15 minutes away from home. And we both had the same curfew, midnight. And I dropped her off, and I'd get in the car, and I'd boogie like hell, fucking get home. And I'd take the fucking shortcuts and everything down the country roads. And I'm coming up on from gravel to pavement. You know, it's shortly after midnight. And over the river, the Platte River, I see this light. Bright light, hugely bright light. And to give you an idea, the car I was driving was a 1978 Chrysler LeBaron. And it started at the 2/3 onto the passenger side, maybe a halfway down from the top to the middle of the windshield. And I'm looking at that, God dang, that is a bright light. All of a sudden, it just zipped over to the right-hand side, or excuse me, the left-hand side, the driver's side. Then it zipped over to the passenger side again, went to the middle, went down, and then shot straight up and was gone. And I, you know, that was really where I became a believer, that for one reason or another, that there were aliens here in Podunk, Nebraska. Why? I got no idea. You know, but that was my experience with it. Now, since then, of course, that was back in, 1985, 1986, somewhere in there. So we've got a lot of river that's under that old bridge. Here recently, I have seen where the James Webb Telescope, I believe that's the name, and I apologize if it's not, has picked up an armada, not a ship, an armada, many ships of cubical design headed towards Earth at light speed. And this has just happened, what the fuck is the date today? Today is September 29th. So it was all within this last week that this shit went down, that I saw. Maybe it happened before that. I don't know. I really don't know. But this is where it landed in my lap. And I'm like, fuck me. What's going on with this? So I start doing some more research and start digging in. And when I start down a rabbit fucking hole, I fucking really make it down a rabbit hole. And what I saw was theorists saying the reason why this armada is coming to Earth, or our coordinates, is they basically want a front row seat to what the fuck is going to go down in October or November. Now, do I think that some shit could go sideways? I don't know. I mean, you know what? I'm a Christian. I'm a Catholic. My belief is that when God says, we're done, and snaps his fingers, we're done, there's no warning to it. That doesn't mean to me that there isn't, maybe there's not prophets that are out there and that are giving the warning signs, just like Noah did during the big flood, or that Moses did, you know, not to worship the idol. I don't know. I really don't know. Do I think that it would be cool that if they came, I'd look at it more, you know, like a rescue mission than an abduction, to be honest with you. But what do you guys think? I mean, send me your thoughts on aliens, aliens in Nebraska, aliens in the United States, aliens on this planet. I'd love to hear from you guys on where you're at with this. My belief is, I have said this before, that when aliens fly by Earth, they lock their fucking doors. We're like the St. Louis or the Detroit of the fucking solar system. We just are. So, until next week,
This has been Generation Extraordinary. The views and opinions are Rob's and Rob's alone. Any claims of time travel are purely fictional. The music and audio clips are not Rob's or GXO's, and in most cases were downloaded through his paid YouTube subscription and are only used for entertainment purposes. GXO is a production of Popeye Enterprises. Its host, creator, producer, and editor is Robert Pop. Co-producer is Harley Quinn. If you are a fan of the show, please show your support by going on to Spotify and follow us, like and share. It seems like such a small thing to do, but it really does help. For more information, support, suggestions, or to contact us, go to the website www.genxord.com. Thanks for listening.